prayer tonight. I really feel like the Lord's given me some things for us tonight. And I pray that God would make it effective. I want to start over in 1 Kings 19. And 19. So he departed thence, this is talking about Elijah, the prophet, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people. And they did eat. Then he arose, and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. Here was Elisha. We're all, probably almost all of us, real familiar with who Elijah was. Prophet of God. Someone the Lord had his hand on. And here was Elijah. The Lord had worked so much through Elijah. His life was such a blessing in the work of the Lord. And he came by one day and he saw Elisha plowing in the field and he threw his mantle on him. And then he just went on. You know what that was that day? That was a call from God. Elisha was destined in his life to be different than all the rest of his family and from those around him. Elisha had a call. He had the call of a prophet. And I want to notice a couple, three things here in this reading. Elisha was a man that was already doing and faithful at what he was to be doing. He had 12 yoke of oxen. I suppose they were his. That meant that he had a big tractor. He wasn't a one plow operation. Elisha was a man that was successful. Elisha was already doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was working. He was fulfilling the call that God already had on him, and that was to be a man. And I think about this call that Elijah knew when he came by and he threw this mantle on Elisha. He said, what was it he said? What have I done to thee? He said, go back again. What have I done to you? It's the Lord's call. I suppose that's what that means. It's the Lord's call. What have I done? I threw my mantle on you. He had some kind of a hairy coat or something, I'm guessing, from other scriptures that you read about Elijah and all. You know, he threw this on Elisha, and Elisha's life changed that day. And I'll tell you what Elisha did. He ran after him right then. He wasn't going to let him get out of his sight. He ran after him and said, "Hey, wait a minute. Let me kiss my mother and father and I'll follow you." You know, Elisha, it's evident by his life here that he was ready to do whatever God wanted him to do. Folks, I feel real heavy with the burden tonight. And I pray that God will call our hearts. Now, we're not just talking about being called to ministry, to the ministry tonight. I want to talk to us tonight about some things that I feel like the Lord's put on our heart. You know, Elisha had to know he was taking a great loss. He went back. He took a set of oxen. He killed them. He boiled them with the instruments. He took his way, his manner of living. He didn't burn all 12 of them, but he made a significant step there, and he burned that and he left that. And he followed a call that God had put on his life. You know, tonight, I want us to think about something. The work of the Lord is done effectively when the Spirit of God moves upon people's lives. When the Spirit of God moves upon people and upon happenings, upon things, that's when things really happen. I want us to think about that all through this tonight. That Elisha didn't just decide to follow Elijah and say, hey, can I be one of you? Can I do this? You know, maybe he was praying to God, Lord, surely there's something better than these 12 oxen. This is a pretty big operation I've got going here, but Lord, surely there's something better than this. I don't know what Elisha was praying, but I know that God saw something there. I remember reading about David when the Lord had a call for David, and he came down, and Samuel the prophet came, and he said, call your sons. Where was David? He was out being faithful, just what he was supposed to be doing. He was working on his job. That's what we're supposed to be doing today. We're supposed to be faithful men and women of God right where we're supposed to be. God has people that he needs to work with. But he's not looking for the folks that don't want to work. He's not looking for those that are slothful in their business and not taking care of their own things. The Lord's looking for people that will allow him to use them in any way he would like to do. And so I'm thinking about the service of the Lord tonight. Folks, we love the service of the Lord. We love this part of the service of the Lord, don't we? Where we come together and we worship the Lord together and we love to feel the Spirit of the Lord come down, do we not? It's a blessed thing. I count it as one of the highest privileges of my life to be able to enjoy this kind of setting with the saints. I love it. I love to hear the songs. I never tire of hearing the songs. They're fresh. Week after week, month after month, year after year, they're still fresh. The songs are. You know, the Lord wants to enliven our midst. He wants to bless our midst. And he wants to bless the world by our midst tonight. And so I want to look a few places and read some scriptures in 2 Timothy 1 and 6. Here we find Paul writing to this young man, Timothy. And he said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Timothy, you've got a gift of God down in there that God gave you. And I want you to stir it up. I want you to reach, I want you to stir it up. And I believe this is speaking of as you would a fire. You stir up the coals and it gets hot and then things can burn. And so he says, Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Do you know tonight the Lord wants you and me, he wants every one of us to stir up what God has placed within us tonight. Amen. He wants us to not be of a spirit of fear. I'm afraid of what somebody's going to say. Maybe Timothy was afraid he would land up in prison. I don't know what the fears were, but Paul was addressing something here. And he said, Timothy, stir it up. And let it work. And don't, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul was in jail, evidently, at this time, in prison. And we find that he said, Timothy, don't be afraid to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Don't be afraid to do that. I wonder if Elisha, he couldn't have thought long because the Lord called and Elisha left right then. He left all that, 12 oxen. Folks, that was no small operation. He was a successful man and he left it immediately when the Lord called. He went home He boiled those oxen. He made a feast for everybody. And he said goodbye. I've got another call. And so tonight I just want to talk about not really so much, just that. But I want us to think about tonight the call of God upon every one of us and what he has in mind for you and me in our everyday life and in our worship services tonight. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 24, let's look here. A little bit about the order that Paul was writing to the Corinthians. It seemed like they had so many issues. But in 24 and 25, it says, "But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth." You know what Paul's saying here? If the Holy Ghost is working in your service, then when people come in, they're going to be struck by the presence of the Lord in this place. And he said they're going to fall down on their face and they're going to say, "I've never seen anything like this before. I know the Spirit of the Lord dwells in you. I have heard personally the testimony of people that have come from other places." I remember one told us how that, I believe it was Sister Imogen, that she told us how that she had been sick and she was in the hospital and she was very ill and dying, I guess. And she said she felt the presence of the Lord draw near. I guess she was praying and she felt the presence of the Lord draw near and he healed her. And from that time, she began to go from church to church and look for that Spirit of God that she felt that came and healed her in that place. And she said when she stepped into the Saints Chapel, when she stepped in, she knew then, this is that Spirit. And that was it. That's where she worshiped. You know, there's a sister in California that's had the same kind of testimony that I heard about, a very similar type situation. You know, the Lord wants to convince people. He wants this gospel to convince our children. He wants this gospel to convince all of us here to give ourselves to the Lord. He wants to convince sinners to repent of their sins. And so I'm thinking tonight about the worship service. And I know we started with the call of God, because to me that's central to all of this. You know, a worship service can be a powerful thing. I remember the first time I walked into the Saints Chapel over there at 6th and Warner. And I will tell you, when I walked in, I felt like it was walking into heaven. The singing, the presence of the Lord, the ministering in that service, I'll never forget. It was a very special time to me. It was very convincing. Our services are to be enlightening, convincing, encouraging. They're to be a place of repentance. Generally, when you come into a worship service, we generally sing, don't we? We generally have prayer. We generally pray. We generally, maybe a lot of times, except on Wednesday night, we have preaching services or teaching services, don't we? Testimonies, exhortations. And folks, I want us to think about these things tonight. Each one of these are a vital part of the work of the Lord. If we come to service thinking, "Let's go and hear the preaching tonight," we've missed something very, very vital in our heart. I hope when we come to service, we recognize we want the Spirit of God so badly to meet with us.
That's right.
Lord, would you meet with us tonight? Would you enlighten our hearts? Would you teach us? Would you convict us? Would you correct us? Would you deal with the sinners, Lord? Do you know those things don't happen accidentally? They happen, folks, because somebody gets a hold of God tonight. And I want to encourage us tonight to get in the place with the Lord, to allow Him to put a gift within our life. Each one of these things we spoke of tonight, of exhortation, of prayer, I want to talk a little bit more about some of those things. Each one of those things, the Lord can gift people in those ways. And it becomes very effective. And if we think it all lays on the preacher, we've missed a very large part of it tonight. Now, we can come together knowing this and knowing what sort of the form is supposed to be. There's supposed to be prayer and exhortation and singing. And we can come together. And I want to look here at 1 Corinthians 14 and 26 now. Let's read on from where we were. We read where people come in and it says the secrets of their heart, of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue or a language, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. That word edifying, it means to build up. Let everything we do recognize we believe in the Holy Spirit working in our midst. I love it when I see somebody moved by the Spirit of God, not to preach. I love that too. But I love it when I see somebody that gets up with an exhortation and I know they're moved by the Holy Spirit. That is an awesome thing, folks. It is a wonderful thing. I love to see when somebody has a song and they get up here and it changes the whole demeanor of the service. How does that happen? By the Spirit of God. By somebody letting the Lord use them. I want to invite us tonight to consecrate our life to the service of God. He's not just looking to put his mantle on somebody to leave their job and go preach. Although he's looking for that too. And when we consecrate our lives to the Lord, we don't know what he's going to call for. But I will tell you, if we'll give ourselves to Him, we long for our services to be alive. And they have been in this meeting. And I want to tell you, I have appreciated watching the Spirit of the Lord move in this meeting. I have appreciated the many messages that have been moved by the Spirit of God. And the teaching that it has done. And the convicting that it's done. Even behind the scenes, the Spirit of the Lord working. When He works, He not only works here, He's free to work out yonder too. And He will do that when we allow Him the right of way and the freedom in our services. Now, I want to read on here about this Corinthian congregation because they knew these things. They knew that this was all good. And so they just fell into kind of a form of it. And you read this here. He says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine, hath a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, the unknown is not even in the original language. It means a different language. It means if they speak Chinese, don't get up here and speak Chinese if there's no interpreter. And so he goes on to say, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. He can understand Chinese himself, but nobody else can. And so let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, Let the first hold his peace, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion. Did you know that's where this scripture is from? We hear it. We read it. We speak it when people are confused. But this is what that scripture's written. This is the context right here. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. And so I want us to think tonight about the powerful, encouraging, inspiring work of the Spirit of the Lord in our individual lives in these kind of meetings. How many times have we seen people get up with a song and the Lord set the whole place on fire?
That's right.
Many times have we not? Do you know that many times, folks, it don't come just by, well, Lord, drop it out of the sky. The minister gets on his knees or in his prayer closet and begins to seek God. And Paul told Timothy, Timothy, stir your gift up. Folks, we have to stir the gift up. If the Lord has blessed you with a gift to sing, I want to encourage you to ask Him each service, Lord, bless the singing. Lord, I'm here if you need me, even. Lord, bless that there are special songs, inspired, anointed. Bless your work tonight. We come to service and we ask for that. In 2 Peter 1 and 21, now this, you know, I believe that Peter probably well knew what he was talking about here. It says, for the prophecy, 2 Peter 1 and 20, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, this evening, I want us to take heed to the words of the Lord. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the first thing. We have to be living in a place where God can use us. And if our life is first and everything about God is coming in second behind that, it's not going to happen. But if God is number one in our life, and we allow the Lord that place. It says here that holy men of God and women, I know, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage us tonight to present ourselves to the Lord tonight and ask Him, Lord, I really want You to have Your way in my life. I want our services, I want our Wednesday night prayer meetings, and we have wonderful Wednesday night prayer meetings here. I will tell you, I love going to Wednesday night prayer meeting. We see many times the Lord moving and working. Folks, it's not just from a form. Well, we know to come and we know to pray and we know to sing. Now, it can be that, but you know what? It can be so much more. It can be holy men and women of God that's moved upon by the Spirit of the Lord, working in their lives. Have you ever felt a burden come on you from the Lord? Have you ever felt something that God began to move in your life and in your heart, and there was no question about it? Lord, speak. Your servant listens. Your servant hears. Lord, move. I know You're moving. I want to be in that place. Give me boldness. Give me strength. Folks, tonight, the Lord wants to move in our lives. We have to be willing to go beyond the fear and to go beyond the fear of what it's going to cost us and all those things and commit ourselves unto God. Lord, move in our midst. Work in our midst. We want our midst to grow. We want our congregations to grow. I will tell you something about how to do it. I believe it. And that is, let the Holy Ghost move in your life. And let yourself be moved by that. Seek the Lord. Seek His Spirit. Look at Peter here. I believe it's time for some of us to accept the mantle. I want that to sink down in your ears today. Lord, let me accept the mantle tonight. I believe the Lord has more for us than we allow Him to do, folks. Now let's go back. We read what Peter said about being moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's look in Acts 2 and 14. Acts 2 and 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I think we could say, they shall pray, and they shall sing, and they shall exhort, and they shall be moved upon to go speak to somebody, and they shall be moved to go to the jail, and they shall be moved to visit those that need visited. Yeah, folks, tonight the Lord wants to move upon our lives, but we've got to commit ourselves unto Him and take our hands off of our life. We want and we love it when God moves among us, folks. It is a very precious thing that I value so highly. Oh, Lord, move in our midst. It only happens as holy men and women. This reaches every one of us tonight. If we're not holy, then let's seek the Lord for a holy heart and life. If we're not consecrated, then let's come down here and let's seek the Lord tonight. Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, I want the work of the Lord to prosper. I would like the meetings to be filled with the glory of God. And I want to tell you, that lies on you and me. Not somebody, not some preacher that's coming in. It lies on all of us. Maybe some of you young folks this summer need to visit some of those meetings with the express purpose. I am there to bless that meeting. Lord, would you give us some songs? Would you give us some prayers? Lord, we're going to be meeting together, and we're going to be praying every day, and we're going to be fasting a little bit. Lord, move in our midst. Oh, Lord, we want more preachers. Hey, it's time, folks. We want more, a lot more than just preachers. And we drop on down to verse 21 in Acts 2. And it shall come to pass, Peter was preaching here. Peter was full of the Holy Ghost. Peter was different all of a sudden. The Lord had come into his heart. And it says here, so he began this and on verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dropping on down to verse 36, after all that Peter's saying, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were pricked in their heart. All of a sudden, Peter was different. He wasn't cutting people's ears off. He wasn't defending himself. They were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children And to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Do you know, Peter was writing back there of his own experience in part. He knew what it meant to be moved upon by the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I want to encourage us to be and to allow the Spirit of God to move upon our life. Remove every hindrance. Remove our fears. Remove the things that would keep us from it. And give ourselves to God tonight. I want to tell you, we want, as I said already, maybe a couple of times, we want the freshness of the Spirit of God to come down into our midst. And we want Him to call our children. Then folks, let's move into these places. This isn't for children only tonight. This is for the older folks too. Let's move into this place. Lord, I want to give myself to you. And whatever, I don't know what to do, but I want to be yours. That's how simple it really is. I want you to be number one in my life. You know, in James, in James 5 and 16 to 18, I really believe what I'm fixing to tell you here. It says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent, I want you to catch these words tonight. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Here's Elijah again. Subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want us to think about that for just a moment. Folks, if we don't feel like we can do anything else, there is an effectual, fervent prayer that we can pray that availeth much. That simply means it brings results. We can pray, folks. We can pray. When we come to service here, I hope we're not startled all of a sudden, somebody's got to pray. No, folks, let's come praying for our services. Lord, meet with us. Lord, don't let us have a mundane service. I know they're not going to all be the same, but folks, the Spirit of God can be there every time. When we get down to pray, I have heard people pray prayers that I know were effectual, and I know they availed much. I was out at the hospital here one time. My brother Steve had been in a car wreck, and he was dying, and his blood count was going down and down and down. I want to tell you something. The saints, I don't remember, I guess we called them, and they had prayer. And Sister Lottie prayed during that time. And I want to tell you, I felt the Spirit of God come in that room, in that hospital, and his blood count started going up from that moment. I want to tell you something. There is an effectual, fervent prayer. Now, we cannot any of us say, there isn't anything I can do. Yes. Folks, there are things you and I can do. We can pray. Some of us, a lot of us can even sing. And the Lord wants to call some, I'm persuaded more than we know of, to the ministry. He wants to call you. And I want to tell you something. Elisha, I believe, came out with the far better deal by leaving those 12 oxen behind. And he took off. And I want to tell you, we don't remember about whoever else wouldn't leave their stuff. But we remember about Elisha, don't we? We remember where he took the cloak or whatever it was, the mantle or whatever from Elijah. He saw him go up in a chariot, didn't he, with horses. I've never seen that. Nobody else has either. But Elisha did. And when he left all of that, he became completely awakened to a whole new realm where God worked. He saw that and he took his cloak and went back and hit that water and it split just like this. And it separated and he walked over on dry land. I think Elisha made a pretty good trade. And I will tell you a lot of other things. The enemy surrounded him one time because the word of the Lord kept coming to him and telling him where the enemy was going to attack. And so he would tell the king, they're coming over here. Well, somebody said, hey, there's a prophet down there, and he hears from God, and he knows those kind of things. Well, they came down, and his servant went out and looked all around. Oh, what are we going to do? How shall we do? That we're surrounded with an army. And Elisha was like, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Let him see. Folks, when we trade in our meager earthly stuff, the trade is, there's no comparison with what we get. And I mean that this morning, this evening. Tonight, I just want to encourage us to lay aside our wants, our fears, our desires, those things, whatever they are that would stop us, the embarrassment that Timothy might have felt, hey, I'm liable to end up in prison. Lay it aside and seek the Lord. And ask Him, Lord, let me be a vital part of Your service if it's only an effectual, fervent prayer. That's different than a mundane prayer, isn't it? It's effectual, it's fervent. And Elijah prayed that prayer, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and it rained. You know, folks, I believe the Lord has a higher place for every one of us tonight. Lord, show me Your way. Let me see it. Let me move from the place I'm in and quit hanging up on all my reasonings and everything, and let me go into those places that You have for me tonight. Oh, I pray tonight that God will help us each one. I want to look at a few other scriptures. I know it's getting late. Ephesians 6 and 18 and 19, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Paul was saying, you pray for me. You pray with all prayer and supplication. Timothy, or this was to the Ephesians, I'm sorry. But he said, you pray this way, with supplication, with longing before the Lord, humbling ourselves before Him, more than just a few words out of our mouth. But Lord, I'm calling upon You. I'm holding on to You for these needs. And he said, you pray for me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so tonight, I want to encourage us, folks, God has a deeper place. Are we ready to move into it? Who is tonight? I remember when we were young and the calls came forth. I remember how a bunch of us consecrated our lives to the Lord. And if you find a lot of the workers in the church are about my age right now. I'm not boasting, and I'm just telling you that's the way it is. A lot of the pastors, you know what? They consecrated themselves to the Lord. And I want to invite us tonight, consecrate yourself to God and take your hands off of your life. If you're unholy, get cleaned up. The Lord wants to do that tonight. Seek Him until He does that, until He can begin to work in our life. I want to look a few more places, Romans 12 and 6. When you see the work of the Lord, you see that it has a vast stretch. It's not one little part. We don't just go to hear the minister preach. It says here, Having then gifts differing according to the grace given that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. If that's what God has you to do, then do it. You know, there were what in the books of the Bible, we find some prophets that they had a lot different place than others did. Isaiah wrote a lot of prophecy. And then we find a little old book over there that Nahum wrote. And we find, but you know what? They all had a place in the work of the Lord. And so he says, we have gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. And that doesn't mean that we're sitting around waiting. It means that we're being attentive to it. That we're taking care of it. That we are being careful with it. And we may have to be waiting. But he says, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. I want to mention that tonight. This is not speaking of the form of exhortation, where we decide somebody needs to say something. The message went forth and nobody's moved. Somebody... This is talking about the Spirit of the Lord moving on somebody, and it is effective. Things happen. People's hearts are, the secrets of their hearts are made manifest. And maybe the preacher did all he could, and it needed a little more. And that person that consecrated their life to God, and God starts burning something on their heart, and they get up, they begin to speak, and it melts the crowd. You know what, folks? This is the way the Spirit of the Lord works today. I want to look at just a few more places here. I'm almost done. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse, I want to look here. Four and 14 to 16. That we henceforth be no more children. Do you know the Lord wants His body to be completed by the work of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and people who have given themselves to the study of the Word of the Lord and to His will? And so He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Listen to that. I love that tonight. Every joint supplies. Every member has a little part to play in this thing. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want to tell you, if we want the body to increase and have children and all of that, folks, let's move. Let's move into these areas. Let's let the Lord have our heart and our mind and our will tonight. I think about 1 Corinthians 12 and 18. It says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased Him. Folks, we're not going and telling, we're not going and deciding, well, I thank the Lord. I think I'm going to be a preacher. I think I'm going to be a missionary. Folks, the call of the Holy Spirit on people who are filled with the Holy Spirit is very recognizable. And they can know. And others can know. And it says here, God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Oh, tonight, I want to encourage us tonight, folks. I'm not asking you to come down tonight and consecrate to be a preacher. I'm asking you that if God talks to your heart, to give it to Him. And to consecrate yourself to say, Lord, I want you to move effectually in my life. I might be young, I might be old, but I want you to move effectually in my life. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight. May the Lord help us tonight that we don't live in a defensive posture, folks. When we just try to keep saved, that's all we want to do. We just want to keep somehow. I got to keep saved. Folks, it needs to be way more than that. Lord, what is your will for me? I want to move my life into your ways. And I want my congregation where I live to be blessed. I don't want to have to feel like I need to move somewhere else. I need to bless where I'm at. Lord, would you bless our lives tonight? Would you speak to our hearts?